only one, the hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. Coming up on the program, Dorothy Gundy and I have a story about big golf organizations that are joining to create one company. Once enemies in court, the PGA Tour, the Europe Tour, and LIV Golf announced Tuesday they are merging into a single new company. Next, Faith Perlow answers a question from a listener about wood, timber, and lumber. Later, we listen to part two of Benito Sereno by Herman Melville. But first, big golf organizations that were once enemies in court are now partners in business. The PGA Tour, Europe Tour, and Saudi Arabia's Public Investment Fund, or PIF, announced on Tuesday that they are merging their golf businesses into a single new company. The announcement was so shocking that not even PGA Tour players knew about the move. Before the announcement, the PGA Tour had been fighting the Saudi-supported LIV Golf in court for more than a year. The PGA Tour asked a U.S. federal court to require Yasser al-Rumayyan, the governor of the PIF, to give evidence in a legal case. Now all lawsuits are being dropped. Al-Rumayyan will take a seat on the PGA Tour Board of Directors. He also will be chairman of the new business involving three golf organizations. Here are some details about this very unusual sports deal.
LIV Golf is a sports organization supported by Saudi Arabia's Sovereign Wealth Fund that held its first event in 2022. LIV Golf has been a direct competitor to the PGA Tour. LIV Golf has tried to reinvent the structure of professional golf. This includes changes such as 48-man tournaments in which players with high scores are not cut, and which offer up to $25 million in prize money. There are also teams. Australian Greg Norman, a former PGA Tour star, is the chief of LIV Golf. The organization succeeded in getting 13 former major champions, including Americans Phil Mickelson and Dustin Johnson, to play in their events. As a result, those stars were suspended by the PGA Tour. Saudi Arabia has been investing in sports and entertainment in recent years. It is all part of Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman's plan, called Vision 2030, to reduce Saudi Arabia's dependence on oil. Golf appeared to be a natural fit. However, the move has led to accusations of sports washing. That is an attempt to use sports investments to take attention away from human rights abuses.
LIV Golf was trying to get all the top players in the world ranking. A majority of them turned down money offers estimated at $100 million or more to stay loyal to the PGA Tour. Northern Irish golfer Rory McIlroy accused LIV players of taking the easy way out. American Tiger Woods, said they turned their backs on the tour that made them famous. The competition also caused a great divide in golf because LIV players were not permitted to play on the PGA Tour. Now, some players are angry that LIV players might return without consequences. Wednesday, McIlroy said he was hopeful the merger would use Saudi money the right way. Whether you like it or not, PIF and the Saudis want to spend money on the game of golf. They want to do this, and they weren't going to stop, he said. Jay Monahan is the commissioner of the PGA Tour. Monahan had refused to meet with the Saudi Golf Group for 2 years. But a few months ago, PGA Tour board member Jimmy Dunn organized a meeting. Monahan, European Tour chief Keith Pelley, and Al Rumayyan began working out an agreement. Monahan found that LIV Golf had a deep supply of money and meant to continue. He said golf was too divided and had too much tension. It was best for everyone to come together. The PGA Tour will remain a non-profit organization under U.S. tax law. The PGA Tour and European Tour also will keep the same tour events and logos.
LIV Golf will finish its second season this year as planned. After that, the next steps remain unclear. Monahan said officials will study how to bring team golf into the PGA Tour. LIV Golf was trying to turn its 12 teams into franchises. However, no one had financially supported a team. But it is unlikely that if LIV Golf still exists, players can play on the other tours. That is what led to the dispute and court cases in the first place. I'm Dorothy Gundy.
And I'm Dan Novak. Hi, Faith. Welcome back to the show. What is today's Ask a Teacher topic?
Hi, Dan. Thanks for having me back. We are answering a question from Yen about the differences between wood, timber, and lumber.
Wow, that is really specific. Aren't timber and lumber the same thing?
Yes and no. The confusion comes from their meanings in British English. In American English, our timber, or unprocessed wood or trees, is their lumber across the pond. So lumber, for us, is processed wood. But it is actually their timber.
I can see why Yen asked that question. You mention lumber products. Have you ever made anything out of wood, Faith?
I have, Dan, 20 years ago in shop class. I made a napkin holder for my mom.
Wow, pretty impressive, Faith. And for our listeners, a shop class is a technical education course where students can learn trades and skills like woodworking, working with electricity, or even welding.
Yes, Dan, something I was not very good at. But I had to measure and cut the lumber into small planks. I sawed the edges into a round shape. I had to sand the wood to make it very smooth. I also hammered nails into it. Then I stained the wood and painted a little mushroom on it. It was very cute. Have you ever made anything out of wood, Dan?
To be honest, I haven't made much with wood. I've never taken a shop class. But woodworking tools are pretty fun to use. Anyway, thanks for coming on the show today, Faith. Now let's listen to Ask a Teacher.
Hello. This week on Ask a Teacher, we will answer a question about the difference between wood, timber, and lumber. Hi, VOA Learning English team. My name is Yen, and I am from Vietnam. I have followed VOA for more than 7 years. Can you explain the different meanings between wood, lumber, and timber? I hope you can help with how to use individual words in sentences also. Many thanks, Nguyen. Thank you, Yen, for writing to us and being a loyal follower all these years. The words timber and lumber have different meanings in American and British English. Let us look at what these words mean in American English. Wood is the hard substance that makes up trees. It helps with the movement of water and nutrients through the tree to the branches and leaves. The structure of wood is fibrous. There are many kinds of wood, such as hardwood from maple trees and softwood from pine trees. Wood is also the material used to make things like pencils or toothpicks. She makes bowls out of wood. Many children learn to write with a wooden pencil. In an earlier Ask a Teacher, we answered a question about the word woods, which means a forested area. In the United States and Canada, timber can mean either wood from standing trees or wood that has just been cut but is unprocessed. The loggers loaded the timber onto the truck after cutting down the trees. Just like a wood, the word timber can describe a grouping of trees or a wooded area. Timber often appears combined with other words like line and land. The timberline is a high area of elevation that marks the limit for tree growth. Timberlands are areas of forest used especially for timber. When loggers are cutting down trees, they traditionally yell timber. The goal is to warn people of the falling tree. Timber as a verb means to cover or support with timber. We timbered the cabin with fresh logs. Now let us look at lumber. The word lumber in American English means wood that has been processed or cut into boards. You can find lumber products at the local hardware or home and garden store. Lumber, much like timber, can also be used as a verb. It can mean cutting or preparing wood to make it into lumber. He lumbered his own wood for his house. But it can also mean to move in a slow or unskilled way. She lumbered through the room beneath the heavy weight of her load. Please let us know if these explanations and examples have helped you, Nguyen. What questions do you have about American English? Send us an email at learningenglish@voanews.com. And that's Ask a Teacher. I'm Faith Perlow. Thank you.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Anna. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com.
Today, we continue the story, Benito Sereno. It was written by Herman Melville. Last week, we told how African slaves on a Spanish ship rebelled in 1799. They killed most of the Spanish sailors. Only the captain, Benito Sereno, and a few others were left alive. The leader of the rebellion was a slave named Babo. He ordered Captain Sereno to sail the ship back to Senegal, the slaves' homeland. But food and water were low, so the ship stopped at an island off the coast of Chile to get the needed supplies. When it arrived, an American ship was in the harbor. The American captain, Amasa Delano, thought the Spanish ship might be in trouble. He would offer help. Babo decided to remain close to Captain Sereno and act as if he were the captain's slave. Babo would kill him if he told Captain Delano the truth about what happened. Now, here is Shep O'Neill to continue our story.
As Captain Delano came up in his whaleboat, he saw that the other ship needed scraping, tarring, and brushing. It looked old and decayed. He climbed up the side and came aboard. He was quickly surrounded by a crowd of black men. Captain Delano looked around for the man who commanded the ship. The Spanish captain stood a little way off, against the main mast. He was young-looking, richly dressed, but seemed troubled and tired with the spirit gone out of him. He looked unhappily toward his American visitor. At the Spanish captain's side stood a small black man with a rough face. Captain Delano struggled forward through the crowd, went up to the Spaniard, and greeted him. He offered to help him in any way he could. Captain Benito Sereno returned the American's greeting politely, but without warmth. Captain Delano pushed his way back through the crowd to the gangway. He told his men to go and bring back as much water as they could. Also bread, pumpkins, sugar, and a dozen of his private bottles of cider. The whaleboat pushed off. Left alone, Captain Delano again observed with fresh surprise the general disorder aboard the ship. Some of the men were fighting. There were no deck officers to discipline or control the violent ones, and everyone seemed to do as he pleased. Captain Delano could not fully understand how this could have happened. What could explain such a breakdown of order and responsibility? He asked Don Benito to give him the full story of his ship's misfortunes. Don Benito did not answer. He just kept looking at his American visitor as if he heard nothing. This angered Captain Delano, who suddenly turned away and walked forward to one of the Spanish seamen for his answer. But he had hardly gone 5 steps when Don Benito called him back. "It is now 190 days," Don Benito began, "that the ship sailed from Buenos Aires for Lima with a general cargo. Pedigree, tea, and the like, and a number of Negroes, now not more than 150, as you see, but then numbering over 300 souls. The ship was officered and well manned, with several cabin passengers, some 50 Spaniards in all. Off Cape Horn we had heavy gales." Captain Sereno coughed suddenly and almost collapsed. He fell heavily against his body servant. "His mind wanders," said Babo. "He was thinking of the disease that followed the gales, my poor, poor master. Be patient, senor. These attacks do not last long. Master will soon be himself." Don Benito recovered, and in a broken voice continued his story. "My ship was tossed about many days in storms off Cape Horn, and then there was an outbreak of scurvy. The disease carried off many whites and blacks. Most of my surviving seamen had become so sick that they could not handle the sails well. For days and nights we could not control the ship. It was blown northwestward. The wind suddenly left us in unknown waters with oppressive hot calms. Most of our water was gone. And we suffered terribly, especially after a deadly fever broke out among us. Whole families of blacks and many Spaniards, including every officer but myself, were killed by the disease." Don Benito paused. He looked down at the black man at his side. Babo seemed satisfied. The Spanish captain saw him take his hand from the knife hidden under his shirt. Captain Delano saw nothing. His mind was filled with the terrible tale he had just heard. Now he could understand why the other captain seemed so shaken. He took Don Benito's hand and promised to give him all the help possible. He would give him a large, permanent supply of water and some sails and equipment for sailing the ship. And he also promised to let Don Benito have 3 of his best seamen for temporary deck officers. In this way, the San Dominique could, without delay, start for Concepcion. There, the ship could be fixed and prepared for its voyage to Lima. Don Benito's face lighted up. He seemed excited by Captain Delano's generous offer. But Babo appeared troubled. "This excitement is bad for master," Babo whispered, taking Don Benito's arm and with soothing words gently drawing him aside. When Don Benito returned, Captain Delano observed that his excitement was gone. Captain Delano decided to talk of other matters. But the Spanish captain showed no further interest. He answered Captain Delano's questions with sharp words, and suddenly, with an angry movement, he walked back to Babo. Captain Delano watched the two men whispering together in low voices. It made an ugly picture, which Captain Delano found so extremely unpleasant that he turned his face to the other side of the ship. Their actions made Delano suspicious of Captain Sereno. He began to wonder about him, his behavior, his coughing attacks, his weakness, his empty, wild looks. Was he really half mad, or a faker playing a part? One moment, Captain Delano had the worst suspicions of Don Benito, but the next, he felt guilty and ashamed of himself for having such doubts about the man. Presently, Don Benito moved back toward his guest, still supported by his servant. His pale face twitched. He seemed more nervous than usual, and there was a strange tone in his husky whisper as he spoke. "May I ask how many men you have on board, senor?" Captain Delano became uneasy, but answered, "About 25 all total." "And at present, senor, all on board?" "All on board," Captain Delano answered. "And will be tonight, senor?" At this last question, Captain Delano looked very seriously at Don Benito, who could not return the look, but dropped his eyes to the deck. Captain Delano could think of only one reason for such a question. But no, it was foolish to think that these weak and starving men could have any idea of seizing his ship. But still, he remained silent. "And will they be aboard tonight?" Again, the question from Don Benito. Captain Delano decided to answer truthfully. Some of his men had talked of going off on a fishing party about midnight, and he told Don Benito this. As he answered, Captain Delano again looked straight at Don Benito, but the Spanish captain refused to meet his eyes. Then, as before, he suddenly withdrew with his servant, and again the two men began whispering to each other in low voices. Captain Delano tried to push the worry from his mind, but what were those two strange men discussing? That will be our story next week.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.